Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to REN's annual results conference call. I'm joined by Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, Gonçalo Soares, our CFO, and João Conceição, our COO. As usual, Rodrigo will do the opening remarks and then pass the floor to Gonçalo. Rodrigo.
Thank you, Ana. Good morning, all. As I'm sure you already saw, you know, our numbers are aligned with the overall market consensus. That was the, you know, the expectations in the market, and we meet the expectations. EBITDA stood at 476 million euros, which was slightly better than expected, given the increase in sovereign yields. Something that is important, and Gonçalo will go through that, when we compare with the previous year, the overall numbers, of course, we need to take in the analysis, we need to take into account extraordinary facts that happened in 2015. You know, the 2016 comparisons are affected by that. We keep a major focus on our operational performance and our financial discipline as well in following the priorities of our strategic plan that are public. Being today, you know, we're talking about the full year results, I think it's always important to mention that we keep following those guidelines that are public. We had another great year achieving, you know, the metrics we wanted. They are world-class metrics on security and efficiency in both the electrical side and also the energy side. OpEx stayed in line with the budget, and financial costs were better than expected, given the lower cost of debt. It was at 4.1% at the end of the previous year, and it's now at 3.2%, which is, you know, very good progress. Net income naturally benefited from better financial results, but suffered with the energy levy and the absence of any positive one-offs like the ones we enjoyed last year. CapEx was lower than in 2015, but totally within our expectations. As usual, the last quarter of the year was higher, and we were able to put into operation a number of important projects, which was something positive and something usually happens that way. We executed an international investment that meets the guidelines we provided a long time ago. It took us a lot of time because we wanted to just to follow our guidelines and expectations we created. It's a great asset where we have a positive long-term perspective. We believe it's the quality, the importance, it's very good. Looking forward, we are very positive of the future of that investment. We have very good local partners with whom we already are working together. This investment brings us a gradual growth to our asset base with positive impact from the very beginning, which is also important for us. Now I will turn to Gonçalo, that will go through the results presentation, and after we will be available, the three of us, to answer any question.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good afternoon. Thank you all for joining the call. I'd say that this is another year where we have everything as planned. A year with a very good operational execution of investments in terms of quality. A year where we performed well in terms of financing costs. A year where I think we achieved another goal in terms of moving forward in our business plan. As you see, in terms of financials in slide number one, we basically met our consensus and the internal goals that we have. EBITDA is slightly below, but the reality is that, as was said, this was adjusted for that one-off effect of the Enagás stake sale in 2015. It would actually go a little bit higher and would be slightly higher, as well as net profit that was not only affected by that, but also by that the one-off tax a provision that we had in 2015, close to 10 million euros. So if you take those two out, and the final outcome is that recurrent net profit would go up by 7%, which is in line with what we expected, and is a good result, in our opinion. In terms of CapEx, I think that we achieved thanks to a lot of effort from our operating investment teams, a very good result. As always, most of the CapEx is done at year-end. This was not a difference in this case, but we were able to maintain the CapEx that is within business plan guidelines, and so we are, again, another year fulfilling with what we said here also. I will talk a little bit more about Eletrogas a little bit after this, but just wanted to stress that after that acquisition, which in this year, apart from the impact in net debt, which is close to €170 million, slightly below, the impact in terms of net income is going to be very small, and that two of our three rating agencies already issued opinions and reinstated the levels that we have, namely Fitch and Moody's, already in the context of this transaction, which for us was expected, as we always committed to only doing transactions that would fulfill the investment grade criteria. Moving onwards, and I'd probably skip slide number two, and if we can go to slide number three, what you would see is perhaps the most important metric for our company, or one of them, which is the evolution of the Portuguese 10-year bonds. What we've seen is that there was a normalization in 15, but then since beginning of 16, there was a gradual increase in the yield, and that translates in the base rates of return that we saw. So in terms of electricity, you see that in 2015 you have around 6%, and in 2016 that base rate of return went up slightly above 6.1. In gas, it's not really comparable because, as you know, there was a change in terms of regulatory framework in the middle of last year, so you kind of have a mixed rate, but I would say that the trending rate, which, as you know, is in a framework, is almost similar to the one in electricity in terms of the impact of the rate, is very close to what we have in electricity now. Moving to slide number four and to CapEx, and as I told you, what you can see here is the result of a lot of work at the end of the year. We were slightly above 170 million, so 171.5. We have some slight delays because of licensing issues, but that were solved. And so we were able to meet our target. Actually, this is a little bit above what we had expected for the year. And what you can see is that actually taking the investment that we had in 15 relating to the Galp caverns, we are actually growing CapEx a little bit versus 2015. So this is what we've been doing, which is to calibrate the level of CapEx so that within the period of the business plan, since in 15, which is the first year, we did much more than was the expected value. We are now calibrating a little bit downwards, as we've always said, so that on average we would fulfill what we have in the business plan, and we are doing so. In terms of transfers to RAB, the story is similar. And so you basically have a decrease, which is basically in line with also that same story from the assets from Galp in the previous year. Okay. Looking to slide number five and to average RAB, this is a story that you know well. So basically, the trend is that you have electricity without premium coming down and electricity with premium going up. Of course, in this year, since we have a lot of investment in gas, because of the caverns, again, in the previous year, you see a negative impact in gas this year in the regulated asset base, because the normalized level on a yearly basis for gas is lower. Again, this is within expectations and within the logic of the business plan. We have set it up that the regulated asset base would be basically flat within that period. Since we increased it in the first year, now it's normal that in the following years you'll have some corrective effect, so that on average you would be within that expectation that we set out on the business plan. Moving to slide number six and looking at the return of all of these investments, What you can see here is what you saw before in terms of evolution of the rates of return, basically. So what you see is an increase in electricity basically driven by this small increase on the rate of return, also a small increase in asset base, but basically the increase of rate of return. And in terms of gas, you see both effects, mostly because of the rate of return and a little bit because of that decrease also in terms of the asset base. As I said before, this is completely within our expectation. Moving to slide number seven, which is the operating costs. What you can see here is that operating costs are increasing 1%. In reality, this increase is driven by pass-through costs, not by the real core OpEx, which is the one that is managed by us and which is also under the revenue cap. The core OpEx number actually is coming down 2%, and for that accounts not only this decrease that you see here in personnel costs, but a lot of other cost efficiency measures. The operating areas continue to improve on O&M. Legal costs came down, consulting costs came down, and actually the drop in core OpEx was not as high as you see, or could be been higher because, as you know, last year we issued two times bonds instead of once, and these costs are also impacted of those costs. And so actually on the pure kind of operating costs, you will actually see a larger decrease. If you go to the next slide, which is slide number eight, you actually see that impact on the non-core costs, that is the pass-through costs. You see that there is a first one. Actually, I'll ask João if he wants to talk in a minute. There's a first one, which is the ITC mechanism, and this relates to a dynamic of how the energy sector last year worked, which is a little bit peculiar. So I've asked João to talk a little bit what happened last year here in terms of electricity in Portugal.
Thanks, Gonçalo. Good afternoon to you all. So basically, this is something quite new in our system because for the first time, we were a net exporter on average on the year 2016. Meaning that according to the mechanism that is in place between compensations TSOs within Europe, it means that we have, as we were exporters, we have to pay to the importer TSO, in this case the Spanish TSO. And that's why you see a negative value, a cost that was a cost of the system, which is fully passed through. We are just the entity that pays, but we get this money fully, the amount fully through the tariffs and the regulated tariffs paid by defined by us.
Okay, thank you, João. The other cost that you see there on the slide that basically increases on those non-core costs, on those pass-through costs, actually the main one is the cost with the regulator. That for us is also pass-through cost that goes up €500,000. It doesn't really impact us or has anything to do with us. So moving to slide number nine that summarizes the impacts on EBITDA, basically what you see is this is improvements in terms of cost, some improvements in terms of remuneration if it was not for the change in the framework in the gas part, but basically the story is that the €20 million from the Enagás stake eats all of those, and so you would actually have a negative impact where you would have on if not for that, a positive impact of over €6 million on the EBITDA line. Moving to slide number 10 and to below EBITDA. So what you see here is that in terms of depreciations, basically in line, no story. I think very, very much in line with what happens on the asset part. In financial results, I'll go a little bit more through that in the following slide, but I think we had another good year. I think we took advantage of the good conditions in the market. We refinanced almost a third of our funding. We extended maturities. We have now more than 3 years of refinancing up in advance in terms of liquidity. So I think that all of this shows that the flexibility that we've built, not only for the rating agencies, but also for these cases in terms of the liquidity, has been paying off and has been allowing us to basically go down the curve of the average cost of debt in a pretty efficient way, and I would say slightly ahead of most of the expectations of investors and analysts. In terms of taxes, I'd say everything more or less as usual. If you take out the special levy, there is not really a one-off effect, but there is a small impact here in this year. Anna can then take the analyst through that. That has relates to one of our smaller companies that because of those tariff deviations, sometimes you delay the payment of certain taxes, and so we have slightly higher taxes this year, and we had slightly lower taxes in the previous years, but completely, I'd say, within what we expect and nothing very out of the ordinary. Okay? So moving to slide number 11, in terms of net debt, what you see is basically a stability of net debt. Actually, if it wasn't for the special levy, net debt would go down a little bit, but it's what it is. And so you see basically a stability of net debt overall in this year, so no major change. As I said, average cost of funding decreased substantially. It decreased 90 basis points over the year. You should not take this clearly as a target for the following years in terms of yearly decrease of our average cost of debt. And the FFO net debt is keenly within what the rating agencies want us to be in terms of investment grade. This is a metric that we follow very closely on a quarterly and yearly basis so that we do not really jeopardize in any way the investment grade ratings, which, as I said, have been mostly reaffirmed. So in terms of slide number 12 and net income, this is the outcome. You see that it goes down, but again, it is mostly impacted by the negative effect of the Enagás stake and by that one-off impact on the taxes that were more or less 10 million euros. Okay. So in terms of conclusions and before leaving room for some Q&A, so basically we did conclude end of last year and in, I'd say, a formal way, beginning of already 17, but we concluded our first investment. This was an investment outside in Portugal in a pretty safe country. Chile actually has better rating than Portugal has in a discreet and, I'd say, careful way, in a way that does not really impact neither our rating nor our dividend policy or our financials in a very disruptive way. Other than that, I think that we've been continuing to do and implementing our business plan in terms of investments, the cost of debt, and I think that also because of that, the board decided to propose to in the AGM that the same dividend would be paid, which is exactly what we have stated is our dividend policy, which is to pay 17.1 cents per share, and so that also fulfills what we announced in our investor day some years ago and in our business plan. So that being said, I conclude my presentation, and we are happy to take any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We'll take our first question today from Sara Pacini from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. So I have a few. So the first one is on the if there is a room on further cost of debt reduction, and if you can consider to renegotiate any outstanding debt still already in 2017, and if you have also if you can also provide some guidance on 2017, where do you expect the net financial expenses to be at also because of the increasing debt from the Electrogas acquisition, and maybe a guidance of net income. This could be very useful. Then the second is on Electrogas. How much is the equity contribution that we could expect? Is 3 million a reasonable assumption, so 3% EPS accretion from 2017? And on international expansion, are you still considering international opportunities abroad or in Portugal, as the press was mentioning possible interest in Portgas? Just want to know in general if you would consider to raise equity to finance this eventual acquisition. And then finally, if you can remind us the parameters that the rating agencies are using to maintain the investment grade in terms of FFO to net debt and maybe net debt to RAB. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So in terms of cost of guidance, and I think we don't give any specific guidance, as you know. What you can, what I can tell you is that since part of the refinancing was not done in a full year mode, even if you only compute the debt that we refinanced last year and that was not 12 months with that cost in that year, you would expect that would have some kind of positive impact on the average cost of debt this year. Since we anticipated a lot, we do not have a lot to refinance this year, even with the Electrogas acquisition. So we don't really need to refinance anything, and we could do that at the end of the year, which would not have an impact this year. So I think you can expect some kind of decrease of the cost of debt, but clearly less than what we have in this year. In terms of the guidance that you asked about net income, yes. Those 3 million euros are what I think actually Anne already told you. This is more or less what we expect in terms of impact, in terms of net income. In terms of net debt, it's around 167 million euros, if you want the precise number, so around 170. So that's the small impact that you'll see in our account, since this is a minority holding. Rodrigo will take the question you asked about. Just to clarify the one about the rating agencies, the metric basically that they've set in terms of FFO net debt is around 10%. Okay, so we are actually with some slack, which is what we want. So we try to be always a little bit above, so around 11 to 12%. That's what we strive for, to have a little bit leeway. Rodrigo?
On your question about investments, future, if we have any overall comment or specific comment, I would say what we always say. We do not make specific comments besides the fact that we follow a strategy. We are very committed to that strategy. Everything you can see that we have done so far fits there and follows, the strategic plan, which is, a lot of focus on the operations, finance discipline, and, for business development, very stable countries, low risk assets, predictable revenues. And that's all we will say about this, today, like every other call we did.
Thank you.
Many thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, you simply press star one. Our next question today comes from Fernando Garcia of Lazarus. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Fernando Garcia from Lazarus. I have four questions. You were commenting that funds from operation net debt will be around 10%, but your guidance for 2018 is better than that. I don't know if you stick still to your guidance that you presented in 2015. Second question as well, in terms of debt, you are reducing the level of variable debt in the last year, in 2016. I wanted to know if this trend is going to continue and what mix of variable versus fixed rate you target in the future. Third question, there was a question before as well on that, but you know, in the Portuguese press, it was rumored that you were likely be there for Portgas. If you could confirm yes or not that you are going to bid for this asset. And fourth question, I think that this is not a specific thing for REN and it doesn't have any impact, but I still think that REN takes part in the technical calculation of the final review of the CEMEX in Portugal this year. Please, could you help us know on this, how this process is done, and a little bit of time frame when this will be finished? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fernando. So let me just clarify one thing. Relating to the FFO net debt, the 10% is not a guidance. And the 10% that I was saying is that the limit that they set, okay? What you see is that we've always been above that. So we don't give guidance to FFO net debt, but of course you should expect that this should be at least 11%, but we don't give guidance to this. What we've said is that this is the limit, and so we like to have some buffer, okay? In terms of what you also asked about the variable fixed, so this is a change that we've made. And so it's not that we are changing anything, but just because of the dynamic of the refinancing during this year, it still should increase. It was something that we already decided, but the year ended at around 64% fixed. Perhaps it's going to be 69% or so. It can increase a little bit, but not a lot. So you may see that increase a little bit, but not a lot. So between 65 to 70 is probably what you should expect.
It seems that for me today, it's the role of the no comment commentator, because I'm going to take all the non-comments answers. On the first one, you know, I said, I just can repeat what I just said. We never make any comments about future besides what is public and the framework we operate in, and we will not leave that. On the second question you made, I also have to apologize, but we cannot comment on the role we have in our obligations with the regulators. This is something that we are not allowed to make any comments, references to some of the missions we have. You know, it doesn't mean if they are small or big, important or less important, but that's it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a reminder, to ask a question, you simply press star one. Our next question comes from Fraser McLaren of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. I have two questions. First is regarding Electrogas. And at the time you announced the acquisition, you spoke about the possibility of there being some growth potential further down the line. Just wondering if you have any more visibility on those expansion options at the moment and the likely timing. And then it would be remiss to ask if there was any update, please, on the ongoing ongoing future of the levy, please.
Okay, so on the first question on Electrogas, the growth comes from several avenues. One of them is that, for instance, there's now an expansion of the terminal, of the GNL terminal called Quintero, that will also expand the revenues of the company itself. Secondly, Santiago, in particular, still has low penetration rates of natural gas. Those are also expected to grow in the coming years. So that's the little bit of growth that you'd see. So when I said to, I think it was Sarah that asked first what was the impact, and I said that this year it will be around 3 million euros. Of course, this is not going to explode overnight, but you should expect that even maintaining the stake exactly as we have now, that this should increase with time as the business goes and as the debt is paid down. So I think those two impacts would lead us to have a slightly higher and progressive impact on the net income line coming from Electrogas. If you want then a little bit more color on this, I'm sure that Anna can also give you, but I'd say that these are the main reasons behind it, okay?
On the levy, the process is moving. As we said before, it's quite a complex and slow nature process. We do not have an update to do at this moment, since this is going through the normal situation. As we said before, a few times, this is a situation where we keep our position, we maintain our position. We decided to pay because otherwise we would be always talking about provisions and risks, and we decided it was better, even financially for us, was better to just pay and keep paying it. That's what we still planning to do. At the same time, we keep challenging the measure, but we know it will take time. And as soon as we will have more news, and they will be public, and we will be able to discuss them. But for the moment, we don't have anything else we can share.
Okay.
Thank you.
And many thanks.
It's not clear what are the plans of the government. Yesterday we had the opportunity to speak about this, and we just hope that the value is going to decrease. But in any scenario, I believe this will be good news for us on the long term.
Thank you.
Okay, many thanks.
Now move on to our next question from Nelson Bernardino from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just a very quick question from my side. There's been a lot of reports on the Portuguese press about interest about new solar PV installations in the south of Portugal. Will this require new investments by REN to accommodate these installations? Thank you.
The solar projects for the Portuguese government at this point are very, very important. In every time we hear any communication, we read any communication from the government on energy, they talk about that. They say the license, they already licensed roughly 300 megawatts. They have requests for another 2,000 megawatts. I heard that number today directly from a government official, and we know that will imply a couple of new projects for us. Maybe João, you want to comment what kind of projects that can happen? What do you see if they go ahead with those projects?
Sure. Thanks, Rodrigo. Well, depending of course on the capacity that the government license, picking up what Rodrigo has just said, for these values of new capacity, we will most likely need to reinforce the overhead lines in the south of Portugal. We're speaking about roughly between 30 to 40 million euros of investment specifically for this reinforcement in terms of overhead lines and some upgrades in our substations in the south of the country.
And just taking this opportunity to also to talk about the fact that the reason why we always said it was important to find some growth, outside Portugal, would be exactly to make sure we can create some compensation for the lack of growth of investment in Portugal. Nevertheless, we believe, this is a big priority again from the government. The government understands, and they fully understand what John just said, meaning new capacity. We need to adapt to that capacity, and nobody probably will argue that it's mandatory.
Sure, thanks. Just one more follow-up question. Do you have any comments about this proposal by the left bloc about taking back the control of the system operation from REN?
My comments yesterday are very public. What what we took yesterday, the opportunity when we had our press conference on the annual results. We had a lot of journalists. They asked a lot of questions specifically about our position versus what they are announcing. You know, and we believe that this proposal makes no sense. It's a proposal that it's about ideology, not about you know, any concern that anybody has with us. You know, REN is an outstanding company. We deliver an outstanding service at a very, you know, correct cost. They also mentioned a question of national sovereign in terms of, you know, who makes the decisions, who makes the calls, who decides the investments. I think we were also able to make it very clear that, you know, this is a very, very, very supervised activity. You know, it's the, you know, it's the regulator who decides how much money we make. It's the regulator together with the Minister of Energy who decides what kind of projects we can do and we cannot do. At this moment, also, they included another step on the process for approval, which is we go to the Parliament now to talk about our investments, our maintenance costs, etc. That is an incredible opportunity for us also to tell people what we do, why we do it, in fact, why we do it so well. We compare very well with any other TSO in Europe. You know, if you look to our metrics, if you look to the items, statistics, quickly you will understand that REN is a very efficient company, especially if you consider the size of the country, because we have to do everything the big guys have to do, but, you know, of course, for a smaller country, and this could go against our efficiency. And you know, I think, you know, we have you know, a great line of defense in this topic. You know, for sure, you know, when those situations happen, you always have to make sure you make your point. And we want to see what the Parliament you know, wants to decide, if they want really to go ahead with the discussion, you know, what they really want to propose, if they understand our arguments. We made our point, it's very public. You know, I am very animated about this, because, you know, this is a big you know, this is a big mistake in terms of even as a proposal, because it sets the wrong stage, and it would of course not be positive at all for the country. But, you know, I'm confident. You know, we made our point, and it was a very clear point, and there is nobody that can argue that we have a very efficient solution.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Leo.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take a follow-up question from Sarah Piccini of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I apologize for coming back again. Another question is on the regulatory review, if you have any update from the regulator, if we could expect some consultation document before summer, or we stick to the date in October. And the second question is on the CapEx. So you just mentioned that the proposal for your investment plan should go to the Parliament in soon, when it's coming in the coming weeks, or then there is a specific date for that. And if we can assume for 2017 and 18 a CapEx around 170 million, which is in the lower range of your guidance from the business plan. And finally, very, very last, is if you have another, if you are expecting a strategy update for next year. Thank you.
Okay, these were several questions. I'll try to answer a couple of them. First, regarding the new regulatory period for electricity, we are dealing with the regulator, as we always do, with on informal contacts. Officially, what we know is what the president of ERS has announced recently, that they are intending to launch the public consultation before the summer. This is obviously an intention because the only binding date that ERSE has to comply is the 15th of October to present their proposal for the next regulatory period, and that's what we know. Regarding your second question on the investment plan, we were in the Parliament this week, made a very short presentation, and now we have to wait and to see if the Parliament wants to wants us to come back again and to discuss our investment plans. Today, in fact, is the official date that we are giving our proposal to Direção-Geral de Energia, which is the representative of the government. And now we have to wait until what are the instructions from our concession counterpart, the government.
On your question about the strategy update, you know, usually I think the right calendar to do this is always the beginning of a new term, or if you have a major change on your strategy, you know, and I think, you know, probably the right time to do a strategy briefing will be next year, in the beginning of next year, around, you know, the AGM or something. Nevertheless, you know, we have attitude of transparency in terms of strategy with the analysts and with our shareholders. You know, we try to make sure in a public way people understand what we are doing, why we are doing. You know, we keep always talking, you know, even today, you know, during this call, you know, how many times I mentioned the strategic plan and what we want to do. We have it, we have these plans very clear in our minds, and they are exactly the ones everybody knows. And you know, and I think one of the missions that we have even with our AR team and for Anna is to make sure, you know, we are very clear and very upfront with what we are doing and sharing with this is, of course, a very, you know, I would say boring business in the sense that we come here every quarter, and thanks to the good job we are doing, you know, we do not have anything very, very exciting to share, you know, on the good way, but also on the bad way, which is great for the type of company we are.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Again, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further questions. Therefore, I would like to turn the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, everybody, thank you very much for being here. We'll talk if you want. If not, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.